We have now entered the Govardhan retreat space. I hope you appreciated the first darshan of Giriraj Govardhan, the Mukutshila, very amazing impression in the stone, visible till today and worshipped by the Brijabasis and all the devotees who find out about the place. This is the first in a series of darshans of Giriraj, very special darshans of places which are not known to the public. We have entered the retreat and we have been facilitated for this by Sachinandan Maharaj, Burijan Prabhu, and Jagatarini Mataji. They will now be presenting their classes. And on behalf of all of you, we would like to warmly welcome them. We will now have all our four presenters together introducing their classes. I would also like to welcome some of the senior devotees who are present on the Zoom right now. If I did not mistake, we have His Holiness Jayadvita Swami and His Holiness Bhakti Prabha Swami. I have also seen His Grace Savaboma Prabhu, Her Grace Lakshmimoni Mataji. We have seen Brajabihari Prabhu. So welcome to all of you. And let us turn towards our presenters. I will request the devotees who are with them in their respective places to please honor them on behalf of all of us with a garland and in this way express our gratitude to them for performing this wonderful service. Let us begin with Sachinandan Maharaj. Maharaj, are you there?
And I can see you, and I see the Govardhan retreat poster and Giriraj next to you.
Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Wow.
This is Sachinandan Maharaj.
John.
Hare Krishna. Just very briefly, it's so. We are really trying to make this as real as possible, and thank you very much. I have a real garland here, not a virtual one. I'm very much pleased to offer you a seminar this year where I let the voice of Rupa Goswami speak to you about the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness and how to reach it. I have discovered his work, Utkalika Valari, a vine of aspirations, many years ago in my Krishna conscious reading, but failed to give it the attention which it deserves. This is the last of his works. It is called in poetry his swan song. When a swan dies, then just before he leaves this world, he will sing the most beautiful composition, the most beautiful song. So when a great acharya writes his last book, usually you will find the culmination of his practice, the culmination of his insights in this work. And I thought really that by helping all of us to associate with the mind and the heart of Rupa Goswami, something will color or will come into our own heart, and it will be transformed. The great yoga master Patanjali speaks about various ways in which one can attain meditative absorption. And one way is vitaraga vishayam vachittam. The mind becomes steady when one focuses on one who is free from material desires. And the Padma Purana picks up on this and says that simply by thinking of these exalted persons, one gets in his heart a little of their qualities. That's why we feel when we hear about Srila Prabhupada so much determination, so much clarity, so much direction and motivation. As if we are, when we hear about him, it's as if we are associating with them. Srila Prabhupada once spoke about associating with these great acharyas who have passed on. And I want to read you this. I take it from Satsvarupa Maharaj's writings. Sitting on the old carpet, Srila Prabhupada spoke quietly and personally. I may be going, but Guru Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda are here. As he spoke, he looked towards a painting of his spiritual master and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I have asked them to kindly take care of all of you, my spiritual children. The grandfather always takes care of the children much better than the father. Srila Rupa Goswami is one of these great, 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 great grandfathers in our line, and Baladev Vidya Bhushana speaks about his ongoing impact on us. He says, if Rupa Goswami, who is an ocean of mercy, would not have written these series of prayers, you know, these are, and we take prayers from this, no? The devotees would never had understood the qualities, form, and pastimes of Sri Krishna sufficiently. So by coming in contact with Srila Rupa Goswami's work, we will understand more about Krishna. But what is for me very important, something of Rupa Goswami's mood will rub off on us. See, when we hear Krishna Katha from speakers who speak from their own inspirations about Krishna's pastimes, our heart certainly becomes purified from the outside. However, if one hears Krishna Katha from these powerful saints, at that time, something else than just an outer effect is created. It goes inside the heart and turns this inclination around, the inclination which we have, it's called bahimati, the inclination which goes towards the outside world and away from Krishna. It becomes turned around when we hear from devotees of such high stature. And as a result, the nectarian messages of Krishna can go directly in our heart, and we progress very easily from Shraddha to Prema. I would like to give you an example. When you have a vessel that is turned upside and down, and you pour some water on it, that will wash the outside of the vessel. But now imagine the same cup or any other vessel is put into a rainstorm. Then we can often see that by the force of the rainstorm, the cup is turned around so that the water of the rain can fill gradually the pot. So when we come in contact with the powerful mood of Rupa Goswami and his powerful expressions, our heart, which has become disinclined and turned away from Krishna, is turning around, and by the nectarian shower of his words, the heart fills gradually from Shraddha up to Prema. And in this way, hearing from such great personalities, hearing about their ideas, and entering their mood is a spiritual therapy that is very, very powerful. So I do hope to do my job as good as I can. I'm praying already so that you can feel something. So whatever imperfections are there, they are certainly mine. But whatever you can feel and understand and come into your heart as filling you up, that is Rupa Goswami. So I very much warmly welcome you to these sessions. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Sachinandan Maharaj. We are looking forward to hear the works of Srila Rupa Goswami and your wonderful realizations. May I call upon His Grace Burijan Prabhu? Here he is.
Hare Krishna. I get my Vrindavan garland now. Hare Krishna.
Where is the garland? Yes, it is here. This is on behalf of all of us, of all those who are participating in the retreat.
Hare Krishna. I need to share a screen right now. I think let's see if technology works. Yes. I'm going to be speaking on something that struck me very deeply, and this is on the fourth chapter of Vanti Lila. I've been studying Chaitanya Charitamrita for quite a while now, and to tell you the truth, I'm a bit shocked at how powerful it is and how deep it is and what a gift Prabhupada gave us in giving Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in Vanti Lila, the first chapter, Vanti Lila really begins in chapter 16 of Madhya Lila. And I would like to trace through technology the travels of Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Let's see if we can actually do it. Because this has always been very intriguing to me. Can you see? Yes, India. Now, the trick will be if we get it to begin. So here, when Mahaprabhu in the 16th chapter of Madhya Lila, Mahaprabhu begins to go, he wants to go to Vrindavan, and he goes to Shantipur, and then his real mission is to meet Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami and Ramakeli. And he captures them completely. They were already devotees, but he captures them more. And then after, he goes back to Shantipur. And in Shantipur, he meets Raghunath Das Goswami, who comes from Panihati. and becomes completely inspired to give up everything and go to attain the shelter of the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu goes back to Jagannath Puri. And then after some time, he goes to the Jarikanda forest, and this is described in the 17th chapter, and he goes to Benares. He spends 4 days in Benares, then he goes to Prayag, and then he goes to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he only spends 2 weeks, but it is an ecstatic 2 weeks. But practically speaking, as Kaviraj Goswami says, that when he's not in Vrindavan, just the mere mention of the word Vrindavan would send him into ecstasy. So the whole time he's in Vrindavan, he's in complete ecstasy, and it became dangerous for his well-being. So his servants and associates there, they decided it's time to we bring that Mahaprabhu out of Vrindavan after only 2 weeks. So Mahaprabhu then leaves Vrindavan, and he goes back to Prayag. And in Prayag, and we can see over here, Rupa Goswami, after leaving Bengal, he leaves and he's going to meet Mahaprabhu in Prayag. And Mahaprabhu spends 10 days in Prayag and he instructs Rupa Goswami there. And that is the basis of the Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. Then Rupa Goswami goes to Vrindavan on Mahaprabhu's order. And Mahaprabhu then goes to Benares. And there he meets Srila Sanatana Goswami. So this meeting with Sanatana Goswami, there's of course much detail attached to that. But his meeting with Sanatana Goswami, he instructs him for 2 months there. And this is very, very powerful instructions. And so much of our spiritual life is covered there. And all of Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana is given to Sanatana Goswami. And also in Benares, he changes the hearts of the Mayavadi sannyasis. And then Mahaprabhu goes back through the Jarikanda forest to Jagannath Puri. Rupa Goswami doesn't stay in Vrindavan very long, but Sanatana Goswami goes to Vrindavan, but they go on different paths. Rupa Goswami travels on the same path that Mahaprabhu traveled on when he went from Vrindavan to Prayag, and Sanatana Goswami goes on the public road, so they miss each other. Sanatana Goswami stays in Vrindavan for 1 year, but Rupa Goswami goes to Benares, and he can't find either his brother, Sanatana, or Mahaprabhu, so he goes to Bengal, and then after being in Bengal for a short time, he goes to Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, he stays with Mahaprabhu and for 10 months, and he, this is the first chapter of Antilila, and it's such a revelation of the sweetness. It's an introduction, really, to the latter part of the Antilila, where Mahaprabhu reveals the deepest possible ecstasy in separation that it is possible. So Rupa Goswami stays there for 10 months and then goes back to Bengal, and he spends 1 year in Bengal finishing up his affairs. But at that time, after almost 1 year, Sanatana Goswami goes to Vrindavan, and Rupa Goswami, he arrives Sanatana Goswami goes to Jagannath Puri to see Mahaprabhu, and he misses Sanatana Goswami. Excuse me, the technology has caused me to go in circles a bit. But when Sanatana Goswami arrives in Jagannath Puri, which is the beginning of the fourth chapter of Antilila, Rupa Goswami, after spending 10 months in Jagannath Puri with Mahaprabhu, leaves. So what we would like to discuss, or what the fourth chapter of Antilila discusses in such a wonderful way, is the path that Srila Sanatana Goswami takes to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his time, his 1 year in Jagannath Puri, we would think that it would be the most wonderful, sweetest, simplest, exaltedest time, and it is those things, but it is very difficult for Sanatana Goswami. It is extremely difficult. And that reminds me so much that when we are young devotees and we have sweet balls and stars in our eyes, we may imagine that our road back to Vrindavan will be carefree, it will be simple, it will be straight. And perhaps it is for some aspiring devotees. But the path that Sanatana Goswami experienced on his journey from Vrindavan until his return to Vrindavan is far, far from easy. Rather, it was filled with difficult, painful tests. And these tests are just suitable to offer us relevant practical instructions on how to deal with the tests that we too must face on our journey home to Vrindavan. And I found these things, what is in there? There was layers and layers and layers and layers. And I just, due to my own limitation and consciousness, just get a little below the surface. But there's layers of depth and sweetness. So it's quite an adventure-filled journey home. And we have the fortune of not having to travel that journey alone. We have the association of devotees, and not only that, also that, we can be accompanied by Sanatana Goswami, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada, as we learn from Sanatana Goswami as he travels from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri and then again back to Vrindavan. So let us journey together and see what jewels we can find along our path. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Burajan Prabhu. We are excited to get these insights in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and pastimes of Sanatana Goswami. Journeying to Vrindavan is indeed very often paved with surprises.
Very often, sometimes, perhaps.
Let us now welcome Jagatarini Mataji with a very extraordinary title to her presentation this year, Vrindavan, the Most Dangerous Place. Hare Krishna, Jagatarini Mataji, Jai.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to try to stick to my 5 minutes. So I started my preparation this year for the Govardhan retreat by finding what I thought was a catchy title. Vrindavan is a dangerous place, when normally we speak about the beauty of Vrindavan, the sweetness of Vrindavan, and how Vrindavan is actually our home. And I began there thinking largely about the beautiful verse from the Nectar of Devotion, where the two girls are speaking and one girl tells the other one, more or less, don't go and see Govinda because it's dangerous. So I started there, and as I went a little deeper into the topic, I thought first to speak about Venugeet, or Krishna's beautiful flute song, and its magical effects upon everyone in Vrindavan. However, before I started to research that topic, chapter 21 in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, I stepped back to look at chapter 20, which is where there is a description given of the rainy season and autumn. Now, if I were to be honest, I would have to say that that was not a subject matter that had really ever, I had never given full attention to that chapter, because it seemed a little bit geographical or something, it didn't seem to have a story. But when I went inside and I started to read that particular chapter, I found that it was very, very beautiful and very powerful as well. And from that point, I started to look for something else to share, and I came upon Srila Prabhupada, who in 1960 wanted to use that chapter for his opportunity to get out of India. He was hoping that this was the time for him to reach out to the rest of the world. And just as I was speaking before about the dynamic tension between what we don't know, what will happen, and what's going to happen, he had no idea at that time that he had a particular adventure or future ahead. He was just working single-mindedly in the present. How can I get this done? How can I achieve this? How can I take advantage of every opportunity? So all of a sudden, I found myself almost, I would say, challenged or confused, because I had these different threads that had appeared and I didn't know exactly how to string them together and make a garland. And one wise friend said something to me. They said that perhaps your confusion, your troublesomeness that you're experiencing right now is a necessary part of your preparation. And although I didn't really welcome that thought, I must admit, I tried to take it seriously. And I continued on with my preparation. And I have three classes, of course, to share with you, which I think you'll find very moving. And what I basically ended up doing was taking these three things and weaving them together. So the first one was that Vrindavan is very dangerous, and why? And the second one was this personal struggle of Srila Prabhupada's and the beautiful book that he composed. And the third one was to actually try and add into that formula something of the beauty of Vrindavan. Because unless we hear about Vrindavan, unless we get like a, you could say, a 3D image effect of what it's like there, we'll never be able to become so strongly attracted that we're able to find our way out of this world of materialism. Srila Prabhupada, in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, he says, materialistic ego, that's what we all have, a sense of material self. Materialistic ego, or the sense of identification with matter, is grossly self-centered and devoid of clear knowledge of the existence of God. Now that sums it up. I think you might find that therein lies the most dangerous thing of all. And Vrindavan is inviting us, take up this challenge come, hear about Krishna, gain the clarity that you require to slowly but surely relinquish this sense of identification with matter. And I think all of us will agree that that's no easy task. And I guess you could say that we're all going to have to expect a good amount of challenges as we proceed in doing so. So please come and share with me the journey that I underwent and the beautiful outcome of that in these three classes, three presentations on how Vrindavan is the most dangerous place in the whole world. I'll see you then. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Jagatarini Mataji, thank you. We feel a little bit reassured now and ready to hear your presentation. Now I would like to introduce His Grace Madhavananda Prabhu. Are you here, Madhavananda Prabhu?
I'm here.
Yes. Welcome. Please introduce your topic. Madhavananda Prabhu actually is continuing on the same topics for several years now, a series on the glories of Govardhan, based on Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's Govardhan Dashakam. So this will be very wonderful to hear more about Giriraj. And this time we have reached verse number 9, right? So please yes. Introduce Prabhu, what you will be speaking about.
Thank you very much. Shri Shri Guru Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Gaurianata Gauranga Giriraja Gopi Gopinata Namaha. So I feel very privileged again to this year to try to help assist in some humble way. Sachinanda Maharaj and Bharijan Prabhu and Mother Jagatarini and all the wonderful dear devotees to help try to create some virtual online Govardhan retreat. This year, we're going to address a rather esoteric topic from the writings of our Prayojana Acharya, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Sachinanda Maharaj was just mentioning how important it is to meditate on the mood of a devotee. And by doing so, we take on the qualities of that devotee. So we want to do that in a layered way, by looking at the reflections and understanding of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who in turn is looking at the mood of Giriraj Govardhan. In particular, this year we'd like to speak something about Giriraj's position as a devotee and what is his relationship with Krishna. I was reflecting when I was hearing from all the devotees that there's a nice letter Srila Prabhupada wrote on the 30th of August, 1968, which I think in a sense kind of summarizes in a way what we're doing today. Prabhupada wrote, he said, "Our business is to chant and glorify the holy name of Krishna. And wherever we may remain, Krishna is with us. Krishna is within your heart. Krishna is within my heart. So spiritually, there's no question of separation. Even physically, we may be in a far distant place." So we feel a little awkward sometimes doing something on Zoom, like, but really, is it that much different from when Srila Prabhupada was writing this letter in 1968, because he'd returned to India and he was writing to some of his new disciples in America? Is it so much different from that? At least we can see each other and hear something a little live. So the Govardhan Vasaprarthana Dasakam, there are 10 verses which are very dear to Raghunath Das Goswami. And those verses, they reveal the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami. We've commented previously that these verses are something like the echo of Mahaprabhu's bhajan in the Gambira. An echo because Raghunath Das Goswami was there. And he heard and he saw Mahaprabhu's bhajan. And what came inside of his ears and eyes and permeated his being later on came out again in the form of his ecstatic prayers, and in particular, this Govardhan Brasa Prarthana Dasakam. So these prayers include the expression of his deep inner desires, his conceptions of Govardhan Hill, his vision of his own shortcomings, and his prayers for attaining his heart's desire. So for the last 500 years, devotees who desire to progress on the path of spontaneous devotion, they've recited, contemplated on, and made their hearts one with these prayers. So as Prashanta mentioned, over the last 6 years or so, we've taken one or two verses each year, the Govardhan retreat, and we've contemplated on them, the lotus feet of Giridhaj. And in previous years, we've reflected on Raghunath Das Goswami's writings and the writings of our other six Goswamis on what they describe about as the identity of Giridhaj. So we, in that research, we raised a question came up, is Giridhaj Krishna, is he a devotee, is he somehow both? And we found that Raghunath Das Goswami and Acharyas has consistently described Giridhaj as being Krishna, but Krishna in the mood of a devotee, something like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then if we contemplate that point, if we say, okay, Giridhaj is a devotee, then the question arises, which we'd like to try to address with the blessings of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. If Giridhaj is a devotee, then what is his particular relationship or rasa with Krishna? Because our acharyas have described that all living entities have a particular sthayi bhav or permanent relationship with Krishna, either in neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental love, or in the conjugal mellow. So if Giridhaj is a devotee, which of those particular mellows is his particular mood? And so that's going to be our subject, which we'll speak, I think, a little later today. So we'd like to invite everybody to please join us in helping us to create this online cave of listening, contemplating in the heart in Govardhan Hill. Thank you very much.